Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and guess what? I'm Rusty. And yes, ironically, I'm feeling a little rusty today. This weekend's been rather a lazy weekend. Chloe and I have been doing some purging and packing and cleaning and getting ready for a large move. And so the excitement has been there. Last night I had a house full of girls, and this morning, as you saw on my Facebook page, it was a gluten-free, dairy-free pancake smorgasbord with the girls, and it was quite a blessing. So I'm very grateful. Spring has sprung here in New England, finally. We've got the itch. We have buds blooming and blossoming and snow melting and the smell of stagnant soil. It sounds unattractive, but it's one of the most wonderful smells when you live in a place that's winter dominantly, when the snow melts and the soil starts just fermenting and permeating out of the ground. It's just a beautiful thing. You get really excited, as you can tell. Today was about 54 whopping degrees, so of course I'm running around in shorts going, please bring me my 75, 80 degrees. The southern in me will never, ever, ever go away. Thank God we have a house in Florida now. Chloe is out playing in the yard with her friends. It's 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here in New Hampshire. And it's Sunday, 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 Sunday. It's a fun day. And I actually am going to make this as quick as possible because poor Gordania Biernat, hopefully I'm pronouncing it right, is from Sweden. So I believe it's around 2 o'clock in the morning for her. And what a brave soul. I hope she took a little bit of a nappy poo so that she could join us tonight. Dial in, definitely ask her questions, 347-205-9443. And I'm going to pull her on now because I know it's early morning for you, Miss Gordania. How are you?
Hi, Rusty. I'm just fine, thank you. And it's actually 12:30 here in Sweden.
Okay. So I wasn't too off. So you're on Belgian time then. Okay. I used to work in Belgium, so it's about 6 hour difference. I thought you'd be a little bit more.
Yes, it's 6 hours difference between us, so it's only 12:30, and I'm a night owl, so it's okay for me. It's fine, actually.
Okay. Good, good. Well, welcome to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm really glad to have you here. I'm glad that's my Bella. She's my new puppy, and because the doors are now open here. Anything bird or leaf or anything that floats by, she has to bark at because she just found her voice. I apologize for that. So, Gordania, can you give us an idea of who you are and what you do?
Well, that's a very, very hard question for me to answer, honestly, because I feel that I am my work and I live my work. So it's hard for me to say it in two sentences who I am. But as you said, I live in Sweden and my name is Gordana Biernat. And I usually start to introduce myself as a mother to a really, really cool 17-year-old young creative man and as a wife to a really nice and intelligent husband with whom I've had a relationship for 29 years now. But I'm also, I would also like to introduce myself with outside of those relationships as a passionate being with a clear mission in my life. And that mission is that I want to make a change by helping people realize how powerful and unique they truly are by any means I can. And, well, I've discovered Twitter, so I tweet a lot about how you can become more powerful and how you can reconnect to your soul. So, well, that's a little bit about who I am.
So actually, I'm not really quite sure how we found each other, or if you found me, or if my personal assistant found you, and she's like, she's amazing. She's just like, oh, my God, you're going to love this person. I'm going, okay, great. I trust you. So you're all about quantum physics and quantum thinking, which is a huge obsession of mine. And ironically, and I have to tell you that one of my favorite books of all time is A Wrinkle in Time. And I believe that you're probably near my age. I think you're a little younger, but A Wrinkle in Time is a book really based on quantum leaping. But that was, you know, I think it was like 1980, 1982 that it really became popular. And my daughter and her girlfriends had a sleepover last night, and they watched the movie. It wasn't as good as the book, of course, but they watched the movie last night in regards to A Wrinkle in Time. And I'm sitting here going, how apropos it is to have the girls watch something about one of my favorite subjects, which is quantum physics. But you're a quantum leader, so talk to us about that.
Mm. Well, what I basically mean by being a quantum leader is that everything we do in our lives happens on a quantum level of reality. I mean,
correct.
We are vibrations, we are energy, and if you don't understand the subtle energy involved in a relationship, for instance, you're into big trouble. So that's
right.
Why I feel that it's very, very important to understand the quantum level of reality and how it works so that you can understand yourself and your relationships in a better way.
Let's talk about what you wanted to be when you were a little girl. What did you want to be when you growed up? Did you want to be the thinker, speaker, humble explorer, or did you want to be a dancer like the rest of us, or, you know, in New York City as a musician, singer-songwriter? I mean, what kind of little girl were you?
No, I was a thinker when I was a child, so I understood that this was going to be something that I would be doing for the rest of my life. I didn't know how. Honestly, I still don't know how I'm doing it. I still can't put a label on myself and say, this is what I am. I'm a dancer or I'm a singer or whatever, because I feel that I am a thinker, and I have this urge to understand how reality works, and I've had it since I was a child. So I think that I am doing what I wanted to become when I was a child. I just couldn't put it in simple words as most people do. What I did do was that I dreamt about sitting amongst a lot of books all my life, and that is what I do, actually. I sit amongst a lot of books and talk to a lot of dead writers, having a dialogue with them while tweeting and writing my own stuff.
All right. So what was the pivotal moment in your life that opened your eyes and your mind to power talk?
You mean power talk as I do it now, as I, you know, when I talk to my clients and everybody and other people? When you first
found power talk in your life, what was that time? What was the moment in your life where you're like, oh my God, this is what I want to do. This is
okay.
Who I am.
Well, yes. That would be, honestly, when I met my husband 29 years ago. I felt that I want to explore reality the way I'm doing it now. I want to help people understand how powerful they are through talking to them and helping them understand their own reality without, of course, forcing them to see the way, the reality as I do, but talking to them. And Power Talk became a way for me to do that. So I would say it probably is 29 years ago, but it has grown out of this. It's not something that just came to me instantly. It grew out of this relationship with my husband and our company that we created together for, well, a lot of years now back in time.
So you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty, and I'm fortunate enough to have Gordania Bernet of Power Talk out of Sweden tonight on the show here on Sunday night. And if you have any questions, I know you guys are putting dishes away here in the U.S. and you're snuggling the kids down and maybe getting ready to watch your TV show, but you're listening, which is great, and I'm humbled and grateful, give us a quick call. The number here is 347-205-9443. So, Gordania, talk to us. What is Power Talk? What does that mean?
Well, what it means is exactly what my Twitter account says, that I want people to reconnect to their core. I want people to reconnect to their inner strength. I want people to understand how really, truly powerful they are, that they are illuminated souls, and that's their true essence. So everything I do, I mean, that is a red thread through my life. Everything I do evolves around helping people understand who they are, who they truly are, and helping them understand the true power. My tweets are all about that, all about understanding who you are and where you come from. For instance, my tweets are about illuminating your own inner core and getting rid of fears that most of us have in our lives, because fear is actually just an illusion that we have created ourselves. So a lot of my tweets are about how to get rid of fear and how to reconnect to yourself. And that is what Power Talk is all about.
So are you a published author? Have you, aside from being a Twitter fan, which I'm just learning about, I'm pretty old. Like, I only want to tweet you every 20 seconds. I'm not good at this. Have you written a book or anything?
No, I'm actually writing a book right now, and it's called Eternal Quick Fixes, which is based on the tweets that I put out there and my Twitter fans are reading and favoriting and keeping for themselves. So I got this idea that maybe I'll put it into a book, because I think that it would be nice for them to have it all collected in one place. So I'm working on a book right now, and I think that I'm getting ready to find a publisher and put the book out there so that people can read it, and then I can share what I'm talking about through my Twitter account.
Oh, very cool. And so where can people actually find you if they want to have your services, if they want to read your book that's coming out? Where do they find you?
Well, that would be if they would go out to my Twitter account. It's at mypowertalk on Twitter, but they can also find me at mypowertalk.com, where I blog a lot about how we create our own reality, about the law of attraction and why it doesn't work if you don't understand frequencies, for instance. I blog about society and beliefs and conditioning, and there are a lot of nice things to read about on mypowertalk.com. So that's where they can find me. But I do recommend them to go out to my Twitter account, because that's where I put out all the new stuff that comes to me during the day. So I put it out in the evenings here in Sweden, which would be about this time, your time in the U.S.
Very cool. So talk about beliefs and conditioning. One of the things that I find most fascinating about the human species is that we're a walking hypocrisy. We are this walking dichotomy. We're just not there, and yet we are. And we constantly befuddle and confuse ourselves with not only our thinking, but expectation, which I think is a little bit different than thinking, yet they seem to be best friends. And then we have this unconditional love with other people's opinions. So talk to us about how do we kind of walk away and shed those three snake skins that seem to infiltrate the human existence.
Well, I think that, first of all, we start off, the minute we are born, we start off getting belief systems that are not our own. I mean, if we're lucky, we have nice parents, so that maybe they don't affect us that much. But when we come to school and when we start our work and everything we do, we learn new belief systems that are not our own, and we accept them as our own. So we don't even know that we have belief systems that are maybe not working for us. We just go around, repeat things that we have learned through our lives. We have been conditioned to stay in a little box and never to connect to our higher selves or our core. So I think that that is the main problem, that there's too much noise around us for us to reconnect to ourselves. We have to find the time and space to start listening to our own thoughts. And by own thoughts, I mean the thoughts that are not somebody else's belief systems. I mean the media or the television or the news or whatever it might be. You have to turn those things off and start listening to yourself to hear who you are. Otherwise, you're going to be, as you said, living other people's opinions and belief systems without even knowing that you're doing it. So it's a waste of life if you don't reconnect to yourself.
Well, I think it's interesting. Even last night I hosted my first Google Hangout, which turned out to be quite a nightmare. But from lessons learned, one of the things that I preface in all creation and all of change, when you're changing something in your life, don't expect the people that are closest to you to actually support you. We have that expectation. We actually have the expectation that the people that are closest to us or that we deem are closest to us would be supporters of our said change or recreation or reinvention or however you want to word that. But usually they're the worst critics and judges of that impending moment. So what is your advice as an expert in regards to changing your thinking? How do you combat the people that are closest to you and you have this just amazing internal desire and expectation that's false, as you and I both know? How do you coax somebody out of the hurt that will come from the impending criticisms that we didn't expect?
Well, to be affected by somebody else's judgment, you have to believe what they're saying to you. Otherwise, you won't be affected by it. So I would start to examine if what they're saying is, if I believe that what they're saying is the truth about me. So if they're saying something that is not the truth about me, then I can stop being hurt by their judgment. And the minute you start thinking like that, well, the people that are judging you the harshest, the people that are the worst ones judging you, they will simply go away in one way or the other because they will not be the same frequency or the same vibration as you are, because you're starting to change the vibration or the frequency. So they will miraculously just disappear from your life. I mean, they will maybe move away or something else will happen. Mostly we're talking about friends, for instance, that do not understand that you want to go through a change, and they will just disappear from your life if you consistently believe what you're doing and consistently keep doing it and stay in the same frequency. I'm not saying that it is easy, because it's very hard to do that, but if you know that what they're saying is not true about you, then you don't need to feel hurt by their judgment. So,
I think if we were to take it even back, take a step further back, one of the things that I find it most intriguing, and it took me a few years to realize this, my history has, I've had abuse and caustic relationships and toxic marriage and just all kinds of interesting lessons that God loves to give me. But I always took the expectation and opinion of others as very truthful because of two things. One, I had no faith in my own decision, in myself or my decisions. But I had no faith in the universe or God. And it's taken me many years to realize that these individuals, their criticism and their lack of faith in my vision stems from two places, from their personal fear, that's place A, and my personal insecurities, because you attract how you feel. So what do you say to that?
Well, that was what I was talking about when I talked about frequencies and vibrations, because if you are vibrating insecurity, then you will attract that to you. But on the other hand, if you look at their judgment as something that is telling you what you are not, then you can use that in a positive way and say, okay, they're judging me for something that I am not. I can use that just to mirror it to myself, to get to know myself better. At least you know what you are not. If you're looking at the judging, what they're telling you about yourself, they're saying something that you are not. So you can use that and say, okay, I'm not that. So what am I? You can use it in a positive way, even though it hurts and it feels negative when it's happening. But if you look at it from that perspective, that they are saying something to you that you know that you are not. But it takes confidence, and it takes connection to your core, which I feel when you talk that you have had. I mean, you have connected to your core. That is why you can look at it and say, oh, well, this is what happened to me a couple of years ago. Now I would react in a different way. So I think
right.
that all you it all starts from you. I mean, you cannot change people out there. All you have to do is to change your perspective on it and just leave what isn't good for you, just leave it behind.
Well, and that was part of my latest speech that I've written and I've been working on internationally, is there's five tips in my mind to changing into a new you, whether it's a job or quitting smoking or whatever that change is in your world. There's really five tips, and one of them is don't own other people's expectations or criticisms, because that's just going to kick you in the gut. And that does two things for you. It allows you to have confidence in what you believe in, which hopefully is yourself. And it also allows you to not be desensitized to your own intuitive instincts. The other thing I believe in is you have to be really passionate or you're not going to change. So whatever your endeavor is, it's not going to make sense and it's not going to come into fruition unless you're really, really excited and passionate about that. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about your passion and what you do?
Well, I mean, I'm so passionate about what I do that I simply feel that I cannot do anything else. If I would try to do anything else, I would be dishonest to myself. There is no off button in my head when it comes to doing what I do. I mean, writing about how reality is created and trying to help people find their core and their sense of who they are. I cannot see myself doing anything else. It feels unnatural to me to even try to do something else. It's like being a singer and not being able to sing. That would be devastating for that person. That's how I feel about my work. I simply live my work, so it would be to stop living if I would stop doing what I do. And this is an urge that I've had for a very, very long time. I can't remember when I didn't feel this passionate about what I do. I think that I wouldn't like myself if I suppress this passion of doing what I do.
Very cool. This is where we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and we are fortunate enough to have Gordania Bjørnøtt from Sweden on. She is a cultivator of life and an explorer of thought and multicultural and evidently multilingual. We haven't gotten to that part of the adventure, so if you're tuning in just now, you are tuning in at a great time. If you have questions, call us 347-205-9443. And I want to let you know that Jess Kristen of JessKristenPhotography.com is a sponsor of Living and Thriving tonight. She actually came up with the most incredible book cover for my book, Having Tea with Skeleton, with my skeletons, and that's posted on my Facebook. So check out JessKristenPhotography.com. She's out of L.A. or Southern California. No, you may not ride your scooter without your helmet. And I'm doing this, and there's 200,000 people listening. So if you do that, then I'm going to publicize that you did anyway. No, you need your helmet. Anyway, so JessKristenPhotography.com. Check her out and go to Facebook.com/CeliacRhodes and check out her work. I am so impressed. She heard my words. She knew exactly what the book was about. She gets it. And the cover is stunning. Now I'm just waiting for S.D. Sabree's version. He had a great idea as well. So I have a feeling one's going to be my ebook cover and one's going to be my hard book cover, because they both made me cry. But you guys know what a lovey-dovey sensitive girl I am and how much I love, love, love all of you. Anyway, this is the place where if you were to sponsor Living and Thriving, you would be heard. So JessKristenPhotography.com or...
Tune in weekly to Living and Thriving with Rusty, Inspiration on Tap. Rusty explores topics related to mind, body, and soul. For more information, go to her site at RustyMcDonald.com. Not McDonald like the farmer, or certainly not like the fast food. Rusty McDonald, just what the doctor ordered. Listen to Living and Thriving with Rusty, Inspiration on Tap. Tune in weekly to Living and Thriving with Rusty, life coach, radio talk show host, single mom, and blogger.
Hey, I'm a happy meal, a single mom, and a blogger. Put that all in the drive-thru, and I don't know what... I don't even know what the punchline would be to that particular journey. Today has been an incredible day. It's been beautiful, sunny here in New Hampshire. And Chloe and I are packing and purging and giving away as much as we can. And lots of friends are getting great deals on large, bulky items, of which I do not want to run to U-Haul for, because I will be moving to Florida and I can get a kitchen table. Oh, wait, I already did. Relatively less expensive than renting a large truck to move 1,500 miles south. Chloe and I went out to the mall. She earned some moolah, and as I was stepping out in my beautiful knee-high black leather high-heeled boots, looking like the goddess that I am, I tripped and fell and met a concrete fate, of which my knee looks like something out of a horror movie. So, for those of you who are commenting on my Facebook page, yes, I was a goofy goofer son, and for whatever reason, I wasn't supposed to wear heels today. My knee looks like a horror story. Tonight, we are fortunate enough to have Gordania Biernet of Power Talk out of Sweden on. So go check her out, www.powertalk.com. She has a lot to say, and she's all about being spiritual and love and life and thinking and all of that good stuff. So, Gordania, talk to us about multilingual. That's something that's very unusual in the United States. Evidently, we, you know, growing up in the South, you learn other languages because it's a multicultural area. Up here in New England, they don't even start teaching you language until eighth grade, which I think is a cardinal sin. But that's, it works up here. It's very sad. But in the South, you can't go to the grocery store without having four or five different countries there. So what was your experience like?
Well, I am multilingual because my parents came here in the 1960s from the Balkans, from Serbia, former Yugoslavia, and I was born in Sweden. So, from the beginning I spoke Serbian with my parents, and I could speak Swedish because I went to Swedish school, and then... because everything on television here is in English. Nothing is a lot of things are in Swedish, of course, but everything is text. So when there is an English movie on, you hear the English and you can read the Swedish text underneath. So, I mean, when I was 12 years old, I could speak English, and then I met my husband, and he came from Poland, Krakow. So, any Swedish, and she couldn't speak any English, so I had to learn Polish, and I did that also. And then I learned some German in school, so, I mean, I don't know how many languages, but I think it's 5 right now.
Wow. What a blessing that is.
Yes, it is, and it's very nice because I think anyone can learn a language. It doesn't matter how old you are if you just are passionate enough and you really, really want it. So you can learn any language you want, even Chinese, I think.
Chinese is actually hard. I actually, during the Beijing issues, many, many years ago, as a young child, and some of the refugees had come to my area where I was living at the time, and they tried to teach me Mandarin, which I was very surprised at how beautiful and yet how difficult that language in particular is to learn, because it's based on tonality of voice. So one word actually means 5 different things depending on how you sound it. And I was a general manager for a Chinese restaurant, and they were Mandarin as well. And it was funny because they always sounded like they were yelling at each other. And so part of my job as a general manager was to teach them English. And I always laughed. I'm like, how am I going to teach you English when you're yelling at me? But they weren't. They weren't yelling at me at all. It's just the dialect and how that works. It's pretty fascinating. Do you find that language in itself is fascinating, or do you find it easy?
Yes, I find, well, it depends on what language we're talking about. I mean, when I started learning Polish in the beginning, I couldn't hear any words. All I heard was ch-ch-ch-ch. That was the
right.
Sound, and I thought, what are they doing? They're not even speaking to each other. But then when I started to sense some words, and I heard them over and over again, I started to connect the words with each other. So after a while, I remember a specific time when we were speaking, and still my husband didn't try. Say again?
We lost that last sentence. You kind of went into the VoIP Wonderland, the universe changed your sentence. So
yeah.
Say it again.
Yes. Well, once when we were sitting to dinner, and everybody was Polish because we were in Krakow, and my husband wasn't translating because he wanted me to learn the language. So I was sitting there, and I had this epiphany moment when I suddenly realized that I understood what they were saying. I mean, I wasn't understanding everything, but I could understand 40% of what they were saying, and that was a breakthrough for me. So I thought that this might be easy, and it was. It wasn't very hard after that. So I think that I find languages fascinating, but I also find it very easy to learn if you relax into it and don't press yourself. And I don't believe in reading grammar and sitting with books. I think that just throw yourself out there and start speaking it, even if you don't know how to do it. And it will solve itself. You'll start speaking the language in a couple of months.
Well, and I think it's interesting. We have this misnomer that people who, and not to say that the rule is 100%, because rules are never 100%, are they? But there is this concept, at least here in the U.S., that I found that most Americans are very intimidated by learning a new language because, unfortunately, our education system lacks in many areas, and that being one of them, unlike European systems where you have to learn multiple languages because, well, that's the way it works. And so there is this misnomer that individuals are less than understanding when you're trying to learn their language. So I have a old high school friend who went to Spain, and she asked for huevos. And in America, huevos means eggs. In Spain, it means balls. So she was asking the poor man where his bulbs were. Didn't go over very well. but, you know, and that's that 100% rule. He was probably the 10% that wasn't very understanding. But I think 90%, as I traveled Europe, and I've been to Amsterdam, and I've been to Belgium, and I've been to Paris, and St. Martin, and some beautiful places so far. I still have yet plenty to travel to. But I think if I sit down and I try to talk and speak in their language, and I'm learning in their language, most people are very, very accepting and understanding, unlike the one poor gentleman who was very offended. It was not intentional, but the misnomer here in the U.S., at least from what I've observed with my travels, is that people are scared. Do you think that that's something that really is prohibitive to human evolution and communication? Do you think that people
scared.
Are missing out because of their fears?
Yes, I think that fears are always making us, they are making the limitations in our lives, every fear you feel. And that's, I feel that fear is actually an illusion created by beliefs that are seldom true. So, for instance, taking this language thing that we're talking about, if you would come to Europe as an American, you would find that most people speak English, so you don't have to learn another language because you're going to be understood everywhere. And I think that that is a problem for you from America, because you can get away with your language here. We do that if we go somewhere and you don't speak the language. For instance, if I go to Bulgaria, I cannot speak with them unless I can speak Bulgarian or English. So when you come from the States, you can use the English to talk to anyone and you don't have to learn the language. So maybe that's also stopping you from learning the language. But the fear of making a fool out of yourself, I think that is the worst thing. And that is an illusion, because most people are very, very acceptant and they really want to help you and to understand what you're saying, especially if you're making an effort to speak in their language. So I think that it is an illusion. That fear is an illusion, and as all fears are, actually.
Well, and the only reason why I'm kind of setting you up, I hope you feel that, but it's not just about language. It's about fear in itself, and it's about thinking and positive thinking versus critical thinking. And critical thinking is a beautiful thing, but criticism thinking is where we tend to prohibit our personal intra and intro-personal growth. And in regards to this particular very simple conversation, we could be sitting on a train from Amsterdam to Antwerp, which is one of my favorite things to do, and there are a multitude of cultures there, and I am just this very open, huggy, lovey person who's like, hey, I want to learn about you. And I literally try to learn whatever language, whatever person I can, because I love that. I'm that person. But I know a lot of people that find it very intimidating to learn about other languages, other cultures, other people. So there's a TED Talk, and it was done in 2009, and this young man opened up a yoga studio in New York City, and he was a lawyer, and everybody told him, like all of his closest friends told him that it was the dumbest thing he could ever do. He doesn't even know anything about yoga. What's he doing open up in a yoga studio? Just stay as a lawyer. You just had a baby. You know, all of those things that we've already talked about. And he said the number one fear by statistics is saying hello to the person next to you. That is the number one human fear, is to say hello to the person next to you. It doesn't matter if you're on a train to Amsterdam or Antwerp, like myself, or Boston, or here in the U.S. or there in Sweden. The person that's sitting next to you, even at the gym, it's so funny. I go to the gym every single day, and everybody has their headphones on as though we're in this vessel. The headphones make this vessel, and you don't see anybody, and nobody sees you. You're completely invisible. You know, it's that mentality. So as a coach and explorer and outside of the box thinker, how do you coach people to get out of that shell, that fear shell that we've self-prescribed?
Well, I think that, again, if you are close to your core, who you truly are, then you know that it doesn't matter what happens outside of you, you're still safe by being truly and honestly who you are. So if you feel that you are an honest person and that you are truly curious about other people, then it doesn't matter how they react. All that matters is that you try to talk to them. So their reaction is actually not as important as you might think initially. That is what scares people, because if they start talking to someone and that person doesn't want to talk to them, they feel that their value has shrunk and there's something wrong with them. But you have to shift the perspective and see that you made an effort because you are a curious person, and it doesn't matter what the other person says or does back. And it's a hard thing to do, because sometimes you'll get hurt. Person hurts you. If you have that perspective from the beginning that it's important what they answer you, because it's not important what they answer. The important thing is that you connect and that you try to connect. And then what they do, it's their thing. I think that's how I would talk to someone that is afraid of talking to others, to maybe strengthen their inner self and inner core, so that they know who they are from the beginning. And that's the only way to protect yourself from that kind of things, I think.
Well, and I'll tell you a funny story. A friend of mine who's as shy can be, but she's this nicest, sweetest person ever, and she's cute, and she's got a great smile and a great personality, and she's just a wonderful God-given gift to this planet, but she is so shy. And she texted me the other day, and she goes, "Rusty, what do I do? I'm going to network, but I'm really a wallflower." And I said, "Oh, you are. That's not how I see you. I see you as this person with a great smile, with a great personality. You have a lot to share, and you're kind of funny. But, you know, you're not going to be able to share your funniness or your great smile or personality by continuously using the term, 'I'm a wallflower,' because now you're setting yourself up." And I said, "And the best part about the whole networking event?" And I just left it there, and she goes, "What? What's the best part?" And I texted her back, and I said, "Everybody's naked underneath their clothing."
That's true.
It's very true. So, you know, you go out and you try to go and be brave, but at the end of the day, everybody's pink on the inside and everybody's naked underneath their clothing, and every single person in that room has some insecurity, has some bills that they have to pay, has some worry, has some doubt, and has some dream. So it doesn't matter your skin tone, it doesn't matter your position, it doesn't matter how much money you have in your bank account. These five factors are true. They're naked under their clothes. If you cut them open, they're pink. They have a bill that they have to pay. They have a worry that they think about every day, and they have a dream. So how does that make you different than anybody else? When we have those five characters, that's a lot of characteristics that are very much the same all across the world. It doesn't matter where you live. So it loosened her up, and evidently she had a great time, and she was able to network quite nicely. But, you know, what are the five things that you would recommend in a situation like that?
So from your true self, if you're not being who you are all the time, then you will not feel good. So just in order to feel good, you need to do the things that you feel are you. And in her case, I mean, she had this pretty smile and she's a smart girl. If she doesn't express that, she will not be feeling good.
She's not being authentic.
Just to feel good, she has... Say again?
She's not being authentic if she's not being who
exactly,
she is, and she's letting
exactly.
her fears take over. Yep.
She's vibrating a frequency that will attract people who are of the same frequency. frequency. If she's being somebody else than she is, then she will attract the wrong people into her reality. So she has to stay true to herself in order to attract people that are of the same frequency as she is. And then she will not be disappointed because they are also very honest and true, exactly as she is. So if you want to attract people that are of the same frequency as you, you have to be yourself. And that's what she probably did, your friend.
Yeah, she's coming out of, she's a beautiful plant coming out of the ground. She's a little seedling popping out. So, you know, she's learning. She's starting to reach the sun. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we're all at our own path. We're all on the path that we're supposed to be on and at the place that we're supposed to be, because that's the whole it is what it is concept. But it took me very, very many years to get to a place where I'm authentically me. And I stand in my truth. And it's amazing how many people I don't have in my life anymore because of that. But it's not a bad thing. It's actually a growing thing. It's a good thing. And I think later on down the road, those people will be back. When you stand into your own truth and you stand into your own authenticity and you stand in your skin so comfortably, the burdens just seem to wash away. It's really quite profound. It's a profound experience to grow into yourself.
Exactly. That is what I talk about when I tweet about how you create your own reality. Because if you are not as authentic to yourself, you're going to create a reality that is not in alignment with who you are. And that will hurt. That will make a lot of noise in your reality. That would make you feel outside of your own reality. So that's why it's very important to ask yourself, who am I? What do I want in this life? And how am I going to get this? And then be passionate about it and just go for it. And the other things are going to just adjust them to the way you're thinking and believing about yourself.
So do you have tips, tricks, or steps that you would recommend for individuals to follow? We have a few minutes left to the show, so I really want to allow you the opportunity to share your knowledge and trade.
Well, honestly, the really profound steps are always, always, always being true to yourself. I mean, when in doubt, be yourself. That's the only thing that matters. Always, because if you are yourself and your environment doesn't accept that, then you're in the wrong environment. There's nothing wrong with you. You have to change your environment, and you do that by start thinking differently about yourself and your environment. So it might sound as a complex, hard process to do. It's not. It's very human and it's very easy. All you have to do is connect to your own core and start thinking about who you truly are without being affected. How should I put it? Just ignore the static that comes from the outside and listen to who you are truly inside. Because as you said before, people do not like you to change. They don't want you to change because that reminds them of that they also have to change. So you have to be resistant to that and passionate about who you are and ignore your desires. I mean, you have to acknowledge your desires to just go for them, not to be, to say, well, okay, I don't need that. I can go with this. I mean, you're created to be outstanding. Why should you accept normal in your life? You should always try to be outstanding, to be more of who you are, because that's what you're here to do. So,
I think it's so interesting how we as a species have really underestimated, devalued, and thwarted this concept called change, when that's one thing that we can absolutely 100% guarantee, is that things are going to change. You're going to get better. You're going to get worse. You're going to go high. You're going to go low. You're going to skin your knee like I did today, which was quite not attractive or graceful, but I'm not a ballerina, so I'm good with that. thank God. But, you know, change is inevitable, and it's the one consistent that we can actually guarantee is that there is going to be change in life. So what is it about the human perspective that we so much want to hold on to this same routine, same everything? Why are we so afraid of change when, frankly, that's all we are actually guaranteed is change? We're not guaranteed anything else other than things are going to get shaken, you know, things are going to be shook up. So what do you think that human perspective is?
Well, I think that we're afraid of change because change means that you have to do something different. And doing something different, that also means that you might be doing something wrong and you're going to be judged for that. And people are going to say, well, what did I say? I told you not to do that, but you did it anyway. I think that we're afraid of being judged by others and doing the wrong thing. But the actual thing is that we can never do anything wrong. We can only use it as feedback to do something different in our life. I mean, if a child would react the same way as grown-ups do, a child would never be able to walk because it would say, okay, I tried this, it didn't work, I'll sit down and wait. But a child doesn't do that. It tries and tries and tries, and finally it starts walking. And we forget this process because we are so afraid to make the wrong step that we are making one step. And I think that it's fear. It's all about fear, fear of being judged, fear of doing wrong. That's what it's all about.
And I happen to agree with you. But unfortunately, can you believe we've gone through almost an hour already? It goes by fast, doesn't it? It's crazy. Some of the shows are half an hour long. Yours happen to be an hour, and I'm going, we're not even halfway through the conversation. We're already done. So, Gordania, I am very grateful that you stayed up late to talk to us tonight and share your story. If there's anything that you would like to really emphasize tonight, any one message for over 200,000 listeners internationally, what is your message?
Well, my message is, and that is all my tweets are about this, is know who you are, own responsibility for your actions, and your life will unfold exactly the way you want it to. That is what I would like my listeners, your listeners, to take with them, to know who they are. And if they feel that they don't know who they are, by all means, explore that.
All right. So you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and we are blessed to have Gardania Biernet of Power Talk, powertalk.com, on tonight. She is calling in from Sweden, so it's probably, you know, close to 1:30-ish in the morning for her. Bless her soul for staying up late to chit-chat with us in regards to, you know, being multicultural, being open, being flexible, being mentally able to handle the adversity that we're in the eventually going to have, and her tips and tricks. And evidently she's a Twitter queen, so go check her out at My Power Talk. Is that it? Is that your handle?
Yes,
it's on Twitter.
It's
My Power Talk.
My Twitter account is at My Power Talk, and my site is called mypowertalk.com, www.mypowertalk.com.
Very cool. Many, many blessings to you and your family. I am so grateful that our paths crossed, and I'm so grateful that you are very much working and doing great, this very similar work that I am doing and thousands of other people in being motivational and inspirational and really redefining individuals' perception of themselves. And for what it's worth, I am so grateful for you and your work, because it's going to take a million of us to help 500 people to redefine themselves and feel secure to be authentically them. And once they're authentically them, they get to join us on our crusades to continue to encourage authentic self. So grateful to you and yours.
Thank you so much, Rusty, for having me.
Absolutely. Many blessings. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Welcome. So you are listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and we just had a power talk with Gordania Biernet of Sweden. And go check her out at powertalk.com. That's powertalk.com. And it's all about being authentic. It's all about being true to you. It's all about laughing when you're wearing these really hot leather boots and you fall and crack your leg wide open on the concrete. It's good. It's good. It's going to happen. Change is inevitable. I have to tell you that we have next week my handsome friend Brian Benson. He's an author, an actor, and he's this crazy athlon guy who like runs across the country and rides bicycles and all kinds of crazy stuff. But and ladies, he is single and he is beautiful. So if you're in LA, you're going to want to tune in because he's a fabulous guy. That's Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Living and Thriving with Rusty. And as always, I just want to let you know that I love you and you're beautiful. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. So keep those emails coming in and keep those tweets coming into Twitter land and the postcards that I get. Gosh, I'm so grateful for that too. So keep it coming in. This show is for you, about you, and designed all around you to help you live and thrive because you're beautiful and I love you. Until Wednesday, I will talk to you then. Have a terrific week, and guess what? Smile. It's contagious.